All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv Fluff Tube Edition. This is YouTube. I'm with one of my favorites, co-hosts of all time, Laura Eisenhower. And I'm joined with Tony Rodriguez. Man, this is a big one because, folks, we got to say that this is, I guess, we're dabbling in conspiracy here. And this is something that you got to really have an open mind for. This is something that I really ask everybody just to put judgment aside and try to understand this the best way you can. There's in me, we're in a universe of all possibilities. Anything can be true. So I love bringing guests like this on because, Tony, it's a fascinating story. What you got here, what's happened to you is incredible. First and foremost, first, I got to say, folks, Noble Gold. Get your Noble Gold. Gold has gone up more than 81% in the last 5 years. It's happening. Central banks are ditching the dollar and U.S. treasuries and buying more gold. The good news, it is predicted to go up more. UBS even said it would go up to 5,000. Noble Gold Investments phone has been ringing nonstop. Everyone wants to protect their retirement with gold. You can do the same, folks. And if you do it this month, Noble Gold Investments will give you a free 1/4 ounce gold standard coin if you qualify, if you open a qualified account. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com now, noblegoldinvestments.com. Get started and get some gold and silver. All right, man, here we go. So I'm going to go ahead and read this just a little bit because your bio is extensive. It's very, very impressive. But you are the author of a new book. What's the name of your book, Tony?
It's called Beyond Sight, The Hidden History Beyond of Sight. Remote View.
But how many books do you have?
This is my third book.
Your third book. Okay, but Tony Rodriguez was involved in covert psychoenergetics programs as a young boy, where he was subjected to advanced experiments in remote viewing, consciousness expansion, possibly allowing his memory recall. These classified projects push the boundaries of human capabilities using extreme and often traumatic methods to unlock psychic abilities. In Beyond Sight, The Hidden History of Remote Viewing and Psychoenergetics, Tony discloses the advanced possibilities of the human mind, sharing his personal experiences and the knowledge he gained from these programs. Through his work, Tony aims to shed light on the hidden potential within us all and the profound impact of psychoenergetics. So, man, I mean, I've had you on the show before, and I always love to have Laura on here with us because Laura always picks up the ball where I drop it, and this is her forte, first and foremost. So, Laura, if you want to just kick it off and take it, and then I'll play defense, offense, whatever I can, but you go for it.
Oh, you're muted.
Oh, awesome, you guys. Awesome to be here with you. Thanks. Tony, for joining us. Oh my gosh. It's incredible. Your third book, you're touching upon the history of remote viewing. This has played such a huge part in these projects and programs. And so touching on these subjects and these different protocols and what you've experienced yourself, where does this all tie in? Like, you know, the Monroe Institute and just the origins of this and all the different things that are listed here. How does this play into your experiences in the Secret Space program and the agendas here on?
Awesome question. Thanks. And thanks for having me back, you guys. Love you guys. And I love watching the work you're doing out there. So both of you are really kicking ass.
Thank you, John.
So my when I got my memory recall in 2015, I've had been on the show before and told the series, the substance of my first book, Series Colony Cavaliers, that story from being taken at 10 years old into a program, the 20 and back phenomenon, which is hard for people to understand. And it's really challenging to get people that never heard of anything of that before to believe it. It's, you know what I mean? It's difficult to explain to people. And I don't want to say embarrassing, but it's like, kind of like, I feel like I'm given bad news about what ETs can do and what they're doing to us, abducting people. And people had been going for 20 years and then putting them back the same night. So that happened. And I got my memories back in 2000.
Wait a second. When you say you're abducted and you say something like that, you have all your memories of what happened while you're abducted, correct?
after 2015, I had like a recall event. I got an MRI scan of my head, and like 10 days later, they all the memory, all these memories came back, and they were like individual, like fragmented, like weird memories my whole life that I was like, I knew, but they didn't make sense. But after the MRI, they kind of came together, and it was one big story from beginning to end. And
so I went, the oh MRI God. Triggered it.
Probably, yeah. There's another guy that had the same experience in the 90s, Michael Relf, and he published the Mars Records, and it was the same exact thing. He got an MRI scan and remembered working
and
on
Duncan.
Mars for
Yeah. And Duncan.
So during that time, it was like abducted, and it was like, secret, covert, black programs, government programs, working in concert with ETs, with extraterrestrials. So that's the level of technology. And I remembered it. And after 15, I got my memories back. And the thing is, during those 20 years that I was taken and put back, I spent the first 6 or 7 years on the Earth before I was taken into the secret space program, which, again, if you never heard that before, ouch, right? Like, people don't want to hear that the people, that there are really, in reality, millions of people working in the solar system in colonies that are already been in the solar system for decades.
And
so I worked out
not
there.
NASA. It's not NASA, right? This is a secret space program. NASA has nothing to do with it. That's just a front.
NASA's the speed bump. So, NASA's, they go over here, look at here, we have our rockets and stuff, and really they're up here with anti-grav and going light speed. So that's the reality of it. So as you might guess, I'm always looking for evidence. Like, I'm not like hellbent for people to know me. And like, if people quit asking me to tell the story, I'll quit telling it. But everywhere I've ever been, I've been invited. And during that, like I said, and I've been attacked. I mean, Laura, me and you kind of trade cliff notes whenever we see each other, like with some of the dastardly stuff people do to us. You know, sometimes we have the same haters. It's great. But because of that, I'm always looking for proof. I'm always looking for evidence. And I've been blessed. There's a lot of people that have participated in this stuff, have zero evidence, but that doesn't mean they didn't go. I was blessed with the time on Earth because there were things that I remembered that I went on the record in 2015 and 2016 that shook out later. And so just last year, in the end of 2022, really, where are we at? The end of 2023, sorry. I went with Tyler Koala from the Journey to Truth podcast to one of... There's only three locations that I remembered being, and I went to one by myself. You know, I told myself if I would have had somebody, a film crew, it would have been proof because I knew my way around the area. I went to Seattle. I'd never been there. I can prove I'd never been there. But I lived there in the 20 and back for 2 years, and I knew my way around. I knew the stores. I knew the roads. I knew the shortcuts. I knew it, the smell of everything. And I
can
kicked
you
myself.
Explain what, just real quick, briefly to my audience, what 20 and back is? Because they're going to be like, what's he talking about, 20 and back?
The government, so corporations and militaries globally are working with ETs, extraterrestrials groups, and they've traded some of their life extension technology to use for people for free labor. And what they do is I was 10 years old, and I bumped into somebody that had access to these programs in my school. Is a kid that I went to school, his dad had access. And that was on a Wednesday, and the Thursday night I was taken. I had a gray and a reptilian ET in my bedroom, and I was taken to some base somewhere. And they did a surgery on me. They checked my genetics, and they did a surgery. And I worked for that. Then I went into a program. I woke up in Inyo Kern, California, and went into like a trauma program and turned out to be psychoenergetics and remote spun off of the remote viewing program. And then I was sold off. I was operational in Peru. They were smuggling drugs. They would drug me, and I could foretell if there were police or bad weather or something. And then I went into space. So it was 20 years. It was a 20-year time. At the end of the 20 years, I was 30. And they did something and put me back in my original 10-year-old body with no memory of what happened, put me back in time. I was taken on Thursday, April 15th, 1982, Thursday night. April 15th, 1982, and I woke up Friday, April 16th, 1982.
And your parents didn't know you were gone.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're only gone for a half hour tops.
Was there anything?
So I woke up, and I didn't feel like I'd been there for 20 years. I was like, it was the most surreal experience. I remember it well, I woke up and I didn't remember my toys, my room. I ran down and hugged my sister. Oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. Like, and I didn't have memory of the 20 years. It was like erased, but the feelings were there. I got lost in school, couldn't find the bathroom. I was different. I was different. And
you didn't know you were gone because they put you back in the body, but you didn't know you were gone. You just,
these abductions are
quite. Your body felt the longing of you missed everybody.
And you couldn't remember because it's been 20 years. You couldn't remember stuff.
How many people are on record right now? When you look at the Barney and the one abduction story, how many abductions are on record where they go, man, the car lost power, and then we saw a gray standing in the road, and then I zonked out. I don't remember what happened, and then I woke up, and we felt weird, like something we don't know what happened, and we were totally different, but we can't explain how, and then we just went on about our day. Like, that's a typical abduction experience. Like, that's literally, you know, like 80% of contact happens like that, and what I'm saying is they can take you. And what's the most expensive thing for any corporation these days? It's labor. It's not the materials. It's people getting the materials and people assembling the material. Labor is the most expensive cost. So these, it's a, you know what I mean? That's, you can't say that there's
so,
not.
So what they use you for at 10 years old, what kind of labor could you provide?
Well, that's exactly it. That's the substance of this book, is that I went to Inyokern, which is an airport, which was, there were three buildings being leased by probably the Navy or the CIA from Army INSCOM, and it was a project. And what I thought, what this, so I want to go in there. I don't want to lose you guys because I know it's complicated, right? And it's a good question.
No, but this is what it's about. Let's talk about it.
The first place I woke, what happened was that over the 20 years, they trained me and I'd do a job. And when I, as I was growing, you know, you're a kid, you grow up, you change a lot. When I was no good for that job, they would retrain me and give me another job. And you know what I mean? The 20 years was into that, and eventually sold into the infrastructure in the solar system, in the secret space program. Which is, like I said, the first book and the second book kind of cover that.
So let me ask you this. Is the missing children thing that's happening right now, could we write it off to that? Is it because they're being sold off into the universe for labor and trafficking?
There probably are losses because of that. So there probably are children that get lost, but probably not most of them. Probably a small number, because these programs, so people always ask me, like, why would they put you back? Why wouldn't they just kill you? Well, because it's genetic specific. Not everybody can go. They can't use the technology on the time travel or whatever it is. They can't use the technology on everybody. There's a certain gene marker that only some people can go. And so why would you kill that person when they can have kids that would have those genes to go and participate? So it's generational. And, you know, I mean, I could talk all day about that, you know, in my own family's thing and people I've dealt with. It's always the same thing. I ask them about family members, and it's always, there's always a Navy in the family tree, basically, like 90% of the time.
Does it have anything to do with the blood type?
It's DNA. I don't know. It's not blood type specific. I think more O negative people either go or remember.
Is there anything to do with hybrids?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot going on with it. So ultimately, I mean, the whole Earth could be in a big genetic experiment for all we know, and it could be a good reason.
See, that's the thing that's what confuses me, is that it just feels like these beings are interdimensional and they're able to blend and come in and out whenever they please and screw with our reality. And I feel like it's completely demonic.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And so there's a scene in the first book where I did call on Jesus. And in this book, there are special forces guys that I communicated with back in 2016. And they were in a, what do you call it? A psychoenergetic area. They were at a target area that was psychoenergetically controlled, altered. Dementia, sight dementiality was altered. And their way around, where they felt like they were walking through molasses. Like, imagine walking through a grass yard and you can't walk. You're like, you're waist deep in molasses. Like, the special forces were sent in on a mission, and they all of a sudden they're on the radio with each other. They're sneaking in dressed as civilians one at a time. Right. And so they couldn't, they were like, oh my God, I can't even move. And they had to call, one of them was a Christian. He said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going in there and doing this mission. And he could walk freely for 10 or 15 feet. And then it started again. He said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going in there and finishing the mission. So that whole thing is in this, that's the chapter.
Oh, okay. Let me touch on that.
Like, energetic.
I've had a few guests on. I've had L.A. Marzulli that claims that Jesus, rebuking them in the name of Jesus, works. Also, Joe Jordan, that a lot of people were able to stop alien abductions through rebuking them through the name of Jesus. You're saying here that that works, and why didn't you use it?
Well, I didn't know. I was a 10-year-old kid, and in fact, I did. And the end, when they put me back, so here's the thing. At the very end, when they were putting me back, so 10 years old to 30, and then all of a sudden I woke up, I was back in my 10-year-old body after it was over in the laboratory with a bunch of ETs, and they're going, what do you remember? And they started laughing at me, and I said, I'm going to remember this. I'm not going to forget you guys. And they were laughing. They were like, yeah, whatever, because I had forgotten the 20 years. They were, you know, they knew. And I said, and I got mad, and I said, the name of Jesus, I'll remember everything. And they were like, silence, pin drop. That's in the first book. So, you know, it's a longer story than that. But basically,
so these could be demonic entities.
And the name of Jesus may be another, you know, invoking the Christ state of mind might be, you know, weakness to their whole technology, what their tech is based on. So, you know, everything's a demon, right? Like, some religions call everything a demon. Everything's a demon. You know, the whole universe, trillions of stars, are all demons. I don't think that's exactly the case, but I think that there's a very real thing when you talk about empowering, like, sovereignty. You know, your consciousness has sovereignty, and I think Christ's state of mind and invoking Christ or the creator, the universal creator, is like a safety valve in the universe. Like, hey, no, in Jesus' name, this isn't going to happen. I'm a consciousness. I have a right to say this. And it's a card that you play. You know what I mean? Like, or you're right. They're demons. I don't know. But I think that they were people. It seemed to me that the ETs I was dealing with were people just like anybody else working. Well,
there's like a wide spectrum of frequency going from angelic to demonic. Like, there's a lot in between, right? Wouldn't you say? And
right. Absolutely.
What can you tell us about the roots of, you know, remote viewing, though, and how it relates to what we're talking about?
Right. So I got to tell, kind of set up the story of why I wrote this book, of how I got inspired to write it. Was Tyler Koala from Journey to Truth podcast. On the first trip to Seattle, I thought I should have brought somebody to film it with me. Tyler volunteered to go with me. I only have Peru, Inyokern, and Seattle. Those are the places that I remember being during my 20 and back that I can go and prove. Like, how do I know my way around Peru? I've got a passport. There's no Peru stamp. I've never been to Peru, but I know my way around. I know the history of that town down there. So that's kind of evidence. That's evidence. That's validation, right? So Inyokern, I thought, man, and Brad Olson went there, and we did a FaceTime, on the phone. And he didn't come up with much, but he walked it for me. And I kind of described from the driveway to the gate, and that checked out. And I thought, man, I've got to go there. So anyhow, Tyler went with me, and he filmed it. He was there filming. And the buildings that I remember being in, I've said since 2015, since I went there on Google Earth and saw that the place was real, and oh my God, it's exactly how I remember it. But the buildings are gone. They were portables. There were three portables. There were two portables and two smaller ones. Portables. And one was portable. Yeah, you know, like a military portable, like the double wide that they make office spaces, like the schools used. And one we slept in. There was a kids that were going through this trauma-based program, and it was advanced remote viewing and psychoenergetics research, which has spun off of Project Grill Flame, in between Project Grill Flame and Project Centerlane. And I didn't know this till after the fact. So where those portables were sitting, there are now garage, like barns or, you know, metal buildings that are just storage sheds, but they're still classified as special districts. So that was evidence. So I went there, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to find the portables. And Tyler and I went there and drove around we spent 2 days there, and the portables were there. And I walked in one that was exactly how I remembered. It was crazy. The very first place I woke up in Inyokern after being abducted, the first day of my 20 and back, I went back to that place and stood in the spot in the portable. It's still there. They moved it. And we went, it was wide open too. You could just walk in the door. It's like, you know, leaky. It's condemned, but it's still there. And then the other portable we couldn't find, but we found the chassis of it was burnt. And on the other, just by random happenstance, we drove around the airport, and we found the other two buildings, the nurses station and where the food was. And so after that kind of totally lit a fire under my ass. When I got, I was in shock for days after that. I went, oh my God, You know, like it's real. Like all the stuff I'm saying is hard. I mean, people, I know there's people watching this that are like, this is crazy. But imagine finding out it's real, man. Imagine knowing your way around a place you've never been. You know what I mean? With memories. And
what?
Like I said, my parents, my mom and dad and sister and family, they were all there with me the whole time. They know I've never been to Inyokern, California. They know I've never been to Seattle. They know I've never been to Peru.
They were
but
with
I know
you.
These. Well, I mean, at home, they've been with me my whole life. Like, you know what I mean? There are people in my life that know I never did a trip there back in the 80s to know where those portables were sitting. And
Do you
so when
have
I got back, I
memory?
started.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, when I got back, I really started researching it through the CIED classified library. And I found all kinds. What I did was I found the hole in the program. So they had remote viewing research to keep up with the Chinese and the Russians that they were doing, the army, and they were wildly successful. They started in 71, and by 77, they were good at it. And by 81, they wanted to do advanced stuff. So they used this technology. The doctor thought we were clones. So ethically, he was cool with. And they, like, you know what I mean? Like, with all, with radical, like MK Ultra hypnosis. So, because that's the trick to remote viewing is believing you can remote view. They were programming us, and then they did put us through the advanced stuff, which was like out of body research with the Monroe Institute. I found all the paper trails. Monroe was there. They had security clearance. They had the tech was there. Everything that I remember, I go and research it, and it keeps popping up. And then I have papers in this book. You know, like that I show the paper trail in the book, which I love. So I don't know if you can see this one. You can't really see it.
No, but yeah, I see it.
It's the funding. So there's when I was there. This is when it ended, and this is when Center Lane started. So in between, it was about it was from April of 82. So of course, remember I said I was taken April 15th. It was like April 7th that they started the program. They shut down Grill Flame. They did a congressional investigation into where Grill Flame was getting its members that were being experimented on. They were humans being experimented on, because there were two programs broke off. The Army one did no drugs, no peripherals, no electromagnetics or anything like that. And the other one was advanced. They did drugs and electromagnetics and shielding and all these extra peripherals to see how far they really could go with psychoenergetics and remote viewing, which was my program. So at the end of that, when they wanted to share it with all the other branches of the government, because only the Army had, what do you call it, security clearance. Only Army INSCOM had security clearance to the data. So they were the ones paying for it. So at the end of it, they were like, look, we have operational data. This is stuff we can use in combat. So then they had to close that program down and start a new one that gave access. When they opened the new one, they had to set the rule set that it was only volunteers. You couldn't use little kids anymore, or even if they were clones. During that window of time, before they changed the law, was exactly the time that I was abducted and remember being there.
Why is it okay to use clones? Is it because they don't have a soul? Why is everything? Why is
well,
everything?
Not,
huh?
Well, you know what I mean. They didn't know, because they were come from. It came from classified. Another classified compartment. So the doctor didn't know where the clones came from. He didn't know that, you know, that a consciousness, that my consciousness was riding along with it and was going to have to be put back. Like, the cloning tech was another radical technology.
How do you not know you're a clone right now?
I mean, really, I kind of don't, do I? Other than, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all here, fingers and toes, like I'm in my body. But it was the same then. I have a graphic, like the way I remember it was the birth to 10 and then the 20 years and then from 10 to now. Like, that's how my memory Crazy. Works. So for me to remember 5 or 8, 9 years old is like 70 years ago or 60 years ago for me. So I can remember the 20 years easier than I can remember being 9. So it's like, that's how I experienced it. The 10, then the 20, then back to 10 again. So the technology kind of works like that, based on they have to have consciousness to drive the thing. If it was cloning at all, I don't, it might be something I'm just not aware of. It's kind of like getting surgery and you know what I mean? You maybe put you under and you wake up, you don't know what
but
surgery
what's
was.
Crazy is the MRI is what triggered all this. You by going into an MRI, you triggered all these memories. You got all the memories back, right?
Everybody should get an MRI.
Yeah. Well, I looked into making it, for so many people came to me and they said, I remember the same thing you went through, what you're talking about. And I tried to think, well, maybe I'll get my own MRI machine, but You can't. They're like millions of dollars. They're made. They're like really complicated.
Can I ask something? So, with all this remote viewing and the roots of it, and these different institutes like Monroe and Tavistock, and just like, how does this influence what plays out on the world stage that we're seeing today? Like this, it seems to be the background behind the curtain of like what influences what's happening on the world stage. Can you help us to understand how that links into the narrative, the social engineering, and all that?
Yeah, they got super good at it. So I was in, you know, the first round of advanced techniques. And so, you know what I mean? Like the maximum, like if they take somebody and experiment on them with no human rights and put them through the maximum of the technology, how good can they remote view? And basically it ended up with me being put to near-death experience once a month. And then people lining up and asking me questions. So they were giving me an IV bag and I would go out. And that's the story in my second book, Project Star Maker. Because while I was out, it was like I was in the middle of being dead and not. And then I would wake back up and I felt sick. And it got worse, progressively worse and worse over. It was like 2 years before I couldn't, I lost the ability. Like they would put me under and I would just talk gibberish at the end of it. Like right around puberty. Like when I hit puberty, it went away. It started to not work as good. So then they moved me to Seattle and then out into the space program where I was just a laborer. I was a repair maintenance and engineering, cargo engineering.
Do you remember any of the trade?
What's that?
Do you remember any of the trade? Like how to work? You, what were you working on? Spaceships?
Yeah, totally. And
did you work on a spaceship right
cargo
now?
Engineering? Well, it's pretty easy. They give you step by the computer's pretty good at telling you what to do. But the cargo engineering, I described it in an interview once years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago. Somebody asked me, like, what was your job when you were a cargo engineer? And I described it, you know, measuring boxes and putting in the data. And a guy got a hold of me and he was like, dude, I do your job. He lived in the like in Italy or Greece, and he was worked for a shipping company in the Mediterranean. He said, I do your job exactly. He said, I stack. He's like, you described exactly my job. And I was like, that's funny because I've never been near a cargo ship in my organic life. And he said, and we were talking about it, we were like, yeah, it's link times width, and then it would spit out the stacking report on the cargo depending on the boxes and the computer. He said, yeah, but don't forget the tipping number, the tipping report. And I said, no, I didn't have a tipping number in my cargo bay. The main cargo bay did, because everything we had was under a meter. It was 1 by 1 by 1 meter. So for the bigger cargo, you have to generate a tipping report. And he was like, whoa, you know, like I knew that.
Yeah,
I've never done that. I'm a woodworker,
but
bro.
This is
like
for
I'm a woodworker.
That's crazy. So this is for like intergalactic shipping. Like this is like you were sending, like what was this shipping for? Like you were shipping containers and cargo on spaceships
to other star systems in our galaxy and even nearby galaxies.
What?
We went to 4 or 5 planets a day. We went to the Kuiper Belt. We went to Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. We went to South America in the Catarina Mountains. We picked up cargo at Diego Garcia and we'd take it out into space.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. Why is Earth so important in all this? I mean, isn't it just one of the planets? Are these planets all just trading with each other? I mean, it's all just like a galactic
yes.
beehive. Everyone's trading. So, I mean, if it's happening here on Earth, then it has
it's
to
for
be tech
it's for
and minerals.
Technology. So there, think about it like this. So what do we work for? Money. They print it. Money's fake. They print right. money. The people that are in charge of the world, the bank, the central banks, and this is, you know, I don't want to go down like the whole rabbit hole, right, with it. But let's look at it this way. Money really doesn't substantially mean anything. I love that you were selling gold in the beginning, the gold stuff. But money, they just print it up when they need it. And we call it inflation, but inflation probably isn't real either. They can pay us fake money to dig the gold out of the ground. And we put it somewhere, you think it went somewhere where it got bought, and they can load it up on a spaceship and go trade it with an ET for a new laser beam. And that's exactly what was going on. That's exactly what we were doing. We would go to Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean, the American Air Base, and this was in the late 90s, mid to late 90s when I was going there. And we would stop and pick up cargo, millions of dollars of cargo, and we would take it and give it to ETs, and we would get technology. Sometimes we would drop off 4 or 5 loads, boatloads of cargo filled to the brim, and they would give us a math equation for payment.
Did this happen with like some agreement? And I don't know if it was Eisenhower or who it was, but wasn't Eisenhower, but it wasn't some president that made an agreement with the ETs to, you can abduct people and we'll give you give us technology, we'll allow you to abduct people. Well, abduct people. Was that the beginning of this?
Yes.
Going a long 1947, time.
The MJ-12 group in 1947 was, to my knowledge, the first said treaty like that. The MJ-12, if I'm right.
Wouldn't you say the greater currency, though, is the DNA and the energy and the harvesting? But and down here, they just want us to be addicted to money, but they actually are using our energies to keep us
consciousness is
distracted away from what they're taking from us and harvesting. Like, they're mining us.
Yes. So people go, I've had people, you know, because I always, the people that love you are plentiful talking like this, but the haters stick out. And I've had haters. They're like, man, they wouldn't take you. You're full of crap, Tony, because they wouldn't take you. They'd build a robot. They'd build a robot to do that job. But a robot really isn't is way more expensive than I am, for one. And they can put you back. So, you know what I mean? It's just, people are very trainable. You cut us, we heal. We're very low maintenance. And we're smart and creative. And we can manifest solutions to things. So, for one. And the consciousness is a kind of a currency. We're amazing at what we are. And so we're kind of a currency out there. So people, the earth is like a resource. They can come down and take people, have an entire labor force, work it for however long. When they're done, they put them back by whatever means. And then the people don't know what happened. Right? So think about that. I mean, just put yourself in a managerial position with that ability.
And we reproduce.
People don't even remember.
Reproduce.
And you leave us alone for a while, there'll be more of us. The other thing is, when you look back in history, talking about to anybody that, you know, the Bible stuff, all through history, there's been a boogeyman. There's a devil. And what does the devil steal? What does the devil want?
Soul. Your soul.
And then where do you go? You work in hell for a long time. And then you wake up. You know what I'm saying? You go to hell. They describe that account of the devil taking you and working you is an account of a 20 and back doing hard labor. That's what I hear.
Hell is eternal.
Well, hell's eternal may have been blown up by then, but what I'm saying is all the cultures have like a boogeyman. Before there was Christianity, all the old cultures have like a boogeyman that would get you in the middle of the night and you'd wake up and be different. Like, if you research it into, you know, the folklore, that's exactly what they want is your soul. The devil wants your soul. It's like, it never made sense. Like, what's up with my soul? What's up with that? Like, the soul, I can't. Well, how many people are like, don't put that together?
And that's the battles to get your soul back. I mean, isn't it also a battle for the soul of the earth? I mean, isn't there something about taking over the earth? They've manipulated the planetary grids.
Well, they keep us down on a level that we can't defend ourselves. So, you know, that's another popular question is, Tony, this happened to you. How do I stop this from happening to my kid? I have a young child. Well, how do I stop it? What do we do about this? And I'm like, teach your kid to say, no, there's really not a lot we can do. They are technology.
Rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Rebuke them in the name of Jesus, right? And say no to them.
You said you remember Peru, you remember all these places on planet Earth. Do you remember other planets? Like, could you be dropped off in another planet and remember exactly where to go?
Well, we were only over there for a time to load up a cargo load, you know, like, the ship was about 1,000 feet long. So the cargo bay was, I don't know, a few hundred feet long. But mine, and I was in charge of two cargo bays. There was a main one. So it did, you know, a few hours. In an hour, 90 minutes, we could load up and go. So we were never there.
So you were like the galactic UPS.
We're like a UPS truck. Much bigger than a truck. But yeah, that's exactly right. Dude, there were times we dropped cargo off into space.
Universe.
We dropped cargo into space. Out in a coordinates out in the dead of space, we would set cargo off the ship and just fly away, and another ship would come get it later.
Would you feel the propulsion system, or was it just like what do you feel on the ship?
Just like riding in anywhere else. You couldn't feel moving around or anything. It was big, and it was, you know, you know, you see in the sci-fi these ships that are got like flowing walls and all. It wasn't like that, man. It was like very simple. It was industrial looking, especially where I worked. In the front, it had carpet and more like, you know, the plastic wall coatings that airplanes have, the wall in an airplane, that plastic covering, it had that. That was a lot of the area in the front. And then there was carpet, and then the back part down in the cargo bay and in where I worked was like white epoxy coated steel. It was made out of, you know, it was like industrial looking. It looked like a Star Trek, like an engineering in Star Trek.
But there's a lot of competing agendas. Like, what is the end goal with all of this? I mean,
well, you know, the end goal is they're milking humanity for all it's worth for a while they can until we advance to a
take
point
over
where we,
Earth. Oh, sorry. Yes.
Well, the Earth has already been taken over. You know, I don't think that it's some kind of agenda where they're going to take over all of a sudden. I think that it's about handing off to us, you know. When you think about the larger, like, politics involved, like, you know, I may or may not be the expert of that, but one thing's for sure, people are evolving quickly. The consciousness of everybody is evolving. Our kids are way more, I don't know if you want to call it woo or advanced or spiritual. Our kids are way more general and spiritual in general than we were. And so because we have the internet and we are trading, birds of a feather can finally flock together that never could before. And so you trade that real good, the real stuff that's been suppressed all along. Like the elites have been doing all this consciousness expansion, you know, for the whole time. And so now we're starting to learn about these things, you know. And so the world, I think mankind is evolving, and we're going to get, they'll have to disclose to us at a certain point, you know. I think they've suppressed us and they just drug it out as long as they could.
How are you dealing with the backlash for what you're saying? Like, a lot of people are going to probably say, this guy's crazy. I don't want to be around him. Don't let your kids around him. How are you being treated by just...
Yeah, that's funny. So I get both.
I mean, what you're saying is really out there for a lot of people. Some people are still questioning if UFOs exist or not. My audience is a big Christian audience, and so they're going to say that you're demonic or you're this or you're that. How do you refute that? What do you say to these people? Like,
it's a big universe, and there's room for all, for a lot of the, like you, like Laura said, a lot of competing agendas. It's a very big situation we're living in. I believe in God. I do believe in the creator of the universe. I believe in the Christ consciousness end of it. And I believe that everybody has a choice every day to make. And that I don't believe, you know, I don't believe in the absolute. I mean, there is evil, but I think a lot of the bad guys that we attribute are bad guys are just ETs or species or groups or militaries or corporations that have their own agenda ahead of your rights. You know, like, they're just disrespectful. I think that's more prevalent than pure evil. And even though there is, you know, there are consciousnesses, that's a tough word to say, that are evil. But I think most of the bad guys that we attribute to are just, it's a matter of perspective. You know what I mean? Like,
in but a wouldn't fight, they want to silence you now that you're speaking out? Wouldn't they just be like, man, shut that guy up? I didn't know he was going to get his memory back. We kind of screwed up on this one. Let's go back and erase his memory at least.
So, yeah, there's been a lot, dude, there's been a lot of things that have happened to me since talking about this. So I got to believe that somebody's looking out for me, because there's no way I would still be here since 2016. I went public, and there's been a lot of things where I could have easily just turned left and been, you know, hit the buzzsaw. There have been some legitimate good swings at me to shut me up. And what it is now is I'm the golden goose, because now I'm disclosing the tech, the technology. I've been, and there, I think the same people that would shut me up are trying to listen to see what I remember, because for the last 2 years, I've been coming out with technology that I remember. I've been working on the learning system. So we waited for AI to catch up, and that's under, like, the school that I went through when I was on Mars, the learning way, I remembered how it worked, and we're trying to reverse engineer that and use AI to create like a homeschooling thing. So that's a technology. And then there's other technologies, the remote viewing stuff. So I teach remote viewing now. Like, I have on my Patreon, in this book, at the end of this book, the very last like 12 pages are our guide on how to remote view. So anybody can do it. Everybody can do it. You can remote view. And there's a real easy protocol. It's all public information. And you can do it, man. It's a superpower. It's literally, it's crazy. It's like a superpower. I have a group. We get 15, 20 people, and we remote view the same target, and they have no idea what it is. They have, here's a today's target. It's just these numbers, or, you know, that, yeah, the grid. They just get a number. You can't see it that great. But that's it. And then it's written on a piece of paper in the envelope what the target is, and they go and do the protocol, and they describe it. They describe it accurately. Every week we do it. We do it every single week. And so I used to be impressed, and I used to keep all the data and show my friends the pictures. Look, they drew this picture, and here's the real picture of what it was. See, look how close it is.
Wow.
And I don't even care, because it's like every, it's like same stuff, different target. We train it. It's a, you got to get in practice of it. And it's just get listening to your own intuition. And the, like, and I'll say this to the Bible people, it's not anything evil. It's your divine abilities that they, that the, that the evil people have hidden from us.
And
so
weaponized.
Everybody has their intuition, you know what I mean? I no, I better not go in there right now. I don't know why. I'm just feel like, oh, wow, it crashed. And so everybody has that intuition, remote viewing, and the government figured it out in the 70s. And they use it, and they use it in combat. They use it. Our soldiers are doing it, and they're doing it. They the Stanford Research Institute successfully predicted the Forex change in price in silver 12 times in a row using remote viewing. Back in the early 80s, in 83, 84. So it's real. And it's not some demonic, it's not witchcraft. Everybody can do it. It's super simple. And it's what we are. We have more ability than they want you to think you're dumb. They want you to think you're dumb and that not everything you try is going to fail. Like that's the subliminal message. And it's wrong.
And that's why they use advanced children and their abilities to steer what, you know, trajectory they want as in timelines. How does remote viewing connect to the timelines?
So kids are easy to train, because they, you know, think about a hard drive, your computer hard drive, you can't add a ton of software to it. It's full. You're an adult. Kids are empty hard drive. They can just program it and they run it really fast and easy. And there's no hiccups. There's no, oh, this one reminded me of my ex-girlfriend and now I'm sad. There's none of that. Kids don't have that. Adults have that.
They're
so
a
that's
clean
why
slate.
They're a clean slate, exactly. They're blank canvas, so they can. That's that's why remote viewing works. Kids are psychic anyway. Most people, I'll bet you, most people have a story that they could tell you about some 3 or 4 year old kid that told them the future. Like, you know what? They said, don't go there. All of a sudden, we saw there was a car crash. How'd they know? Because kids just don't know that they can't. They teach us that we can. So that's the thing.
What about, didn't you have memories? The last time I talked to you was a few years ago, I think. You were talking about how you were also, and let's be very careful on this for a fluff tube, but like you were trafficked throughout the, not only were you working on ships and stuff, but weren't you also?
So that was in between Peru and being in, sold into space. In between the ages of 13 and 16 was in Seattle. And that was elite. Like I stayed there in a house with boys, and that was part of that, like, you know, that culture was like military people and parties.
But was it, were you trafficked on Earth, or were you also trafficked outside into the
universe?
It was
universe? Just those years. So it was just those years on Earth in Seattle. Like I stayed at the house in Seattle and they were having political party. Like they were having
those politicians that were doing it.
Politicians and people from the military and, you know, high up in the political structure. And military people that were like, you know, administrative military people, they were at these parties, and other people in Hollywood and musicians. It was the, you know, it's that crowd, man. That stuff's real. The Hollywood stuff that we're seeing, you know, the whole Diddy scandal and all these things, like that's what goes on. You know what I mean? Like when you take like rock star stuff, like this again, I'm gonna keep it for flow. I know we're on the YouTube. I can't speak freely right now. When you take a rock star that has no challenge in finding somebody to hook up with, they look that, you know what I'm saying? You get desensitized and they get what they want. They want what they can't have. And when you get somebody that can have anybody they want, what's next, right? Some taboo stuff. It gets younger.
And they start going you're like in fetishes that. And like weird stuff. They start enforce their power. That's what they start getting off on.
Exactly, because you want what you can't. You want a challenge. You don't want. It's like if everybody just likes.
How is
you,
a child a challenge? I don't understand.
I know that's just a.
Well, it's illegal. Because it's illegal. Because you can't have. You can't have it. So what I'm saying is that's the lure. Is somebody
so
slightly younger?
That doesn't make any sense. It has to be. Isn't that conditioned or traumatized into a person? It just doesn't seem like a natural thing that would just flip because you have everything you could want.
People in a group setting. Art can be taught, can be coerced into doing some very horrible things. And
is
we see this
for the sake of money? But is that part of the selling of just to have the, because it's blackmail, right? You said people take pictures of in order to blackmail them. Is that different? Well,
so we have the Epstein Island thing where we have the list of people that frequented it, and they had underage girls. I mean, this is
and
all
beyond some other things too. I heard, but all right.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it fluff. Keep it fluff. Yeah,
I'm gonna keep it simple. But we have the evidence that many people that are in positions of power, billionaires, politicians, perhaps presidents, the prince of, you know what I mean, one of the princes of England would go to Epstein Island, confirmed, underage or girls, confirmed, and they were being filmed unwittingly, confirmed. All these things are confirmed. So this is a wonderful system, probably dates back to the Roman time on how to get somebody to vote for you or to make your record and work for your company or not do this or not do that. So this is prime course. And these are the people that are in charge of everything. You know, why waste your time with, why waste your time inviting somebody that works at 7-Eleven when you can invite the guy that owns 7-Eleven, right? So that's the one you want to control everything. So those are the people that get invited to these. And then all of a sudden you're rubbing elbows with your favorite people. Like, oh my God, I can't believe he's here. That's amazing. And you're like blown away. And then all of a sudden there's a culture. These girls may or may not be of age. You're not sure. And then once they know you play ball, then you go to the inside room where they definitely are underage. And now you're an accomplice. And so, yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff. That was Seattle. That entire episode is also covered in my first book, Series Colony Cavalier. And
why
then,
is Seattle so important?
My memory, Seattle's like a ley line. Like, so Seattle's like an energetic place, like Sedona or, you know, Egypt, wherever. There are places in the world that have like magnetic anomalies. It's better to do your black magic stuff. You know, that's my guess. That's my best guess. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't have some kind of tangible proof I can offer, but that's my best guess. What was I going to say about that? But so that's covered in the first book. And yeah, I forget where I was going with that.
But what's the heart of your new book? Yeah, like, what's the heart of it? Like, the origins of remote viewing and
It's about remote viewing and about how far they went with it. So the other thing is, most people think remote viewing is like drawing on a chalkboard. Like I have an envelope, and inside it says, describe the Eiffel Tower. And I put numbers on it. I give the numbers to you, and you're on a chalkboard, and you're like, I get a tower, a straight up thing. And you know what I mean? Most people think that's what remote viewing was. And it is, to it largely. But there's so much more to it. And the things that I remembered experiencing, they did out of body, they did countermeasures, they did future, telling the future, telling the past. We did telepathy. We did many experiments with radical stuff. They were using drugs on us and peripherals and the binaurals. And electromagnetic fields and Faraday cages. And so they were experimenting with radical technology, and the book is telling what I went through and what we, and then on top of it, I found evidence for all those things. Like, now it's all declassified. Here we are 40 years later, 45 years later, it's declassified. So you can go on. It's just a lot of reading. I read 100 PDFs researching myself, and I'm just looking for proof. And I found kind of the hole, the financial hole around my time in Inyokern as well. So that's what's in the book.
Right. Is there a connection between like remote viewing and timeline manipulation and looking glass technologies? Is there any?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's psychoenergetics. So remote viewing is passive. So you're an observer. So think about this. So if I'm in, a sporting event and I'm watching it, I'm watching a baseball game. Okay. I'm in a baseball game. It doesn't matter what kind of crazy stuff happens. I'm just watching. At the game's over, I go home. I'm an observer. I'm remote viewing it. Psychoenergetics is interacting with it. Psychoenergetics is when you start shining lasers in their eye for the players. When he guys up the bat and you're lasering his eye. Now you're interacting with the game. You're perturbing the game.
Influencing it.
That's what psychoenergetics is perturbing. And that's, like I said, like I described earlier, that special forces team that were in, entered an area that was protected psychoenergetically. So they altered dimensionality. They made it to where they got to the point where they could move things at the target, and they could change your perception of time. So a bunch of remote viewers, a bunch of soldiers on drugs in a room somewhere in an army base, and they work on my room here, and you walk in my room and you go, whoa, man, where did the time go? I walked in here at noon. It's already 3 o'clock. It's only been like 5 minutes. What's going on? They could do that. They could replicate that. And they could slow it down. Where you go, come on already. Like, they could alter your perception of time at the site. So I'm not making this up. I'm not guessing either. I have the paperwork. I showed the paperwork.
So this matrix really is engineered, highly engineered. We have engineers controlling our reality, basically.
You're controlling your reality anyway. When you're psyching up to do something.
But it seems like other entities can come in and do that.
If we're unconscious, if we're on autopilot, right? It's more like you have to be pretty out of it.
You know, like most of humans are walking down the street looking at their phone. So it's like you're not doing. We are numb. We're numbed by the media and by our stuff and by our. You know what I mean? Saying they tell little young boys that there's no money to be made. It's terrible. Don't get out there and work. You know, like they're telling you all these things to shoot that in the foot, and while doing the opposite to themselves, because the matrix, you know, if you want to call it the matrix, whatever you want to call it, you are in charge of your own reality, your branch of the timeline that you are going to occupy. Each of us that I occupy a branch. So I leave and go today, me and you hang up and you're going to go do something and I'm going to do something. I have no idea what it is. You're in charge of that and where it leads you and what happens along the way. Your consciousness is shaping that, and mine is shaping mine. So they just figured out how to do it for military purposes. And ETs have been doing it all along. And that's just the real nature of the universe. Like, people explain it away too, when incredible things happen to people, they explain it away too easily. How many people have witnessed a miracle and then went right back to thinking nothing about it? Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like,
and
when
then they just go, let's see what's on TV.
What about synchronicities? Like, when certain things happen in your life, you're like, synchronicities, exactly what is that? Are those magic glitches?
Well, that's exactly right. So I like to think that synchronicities are my higher self, you know, me. Like, you're like a telescope into, you know, we get into other quantum physics and things like that. Like, synchronicities are kind of like, so another chapter in this book is dream work, somnius opus, I call it, dream work. I believe, and the science that I found when I was researching the program, the Grill Flame program, the science behind it is that you are work like a radio, and your radio signals bounce off the ionosphere along with everybody else's. So while you're sleeping, you can literally communicate to everybody on the globe who is also sleeping. Or, you know, and maybe that's why some people can't sleep, because they don't want, hey, get out of here, we're talking about you. But it's not tied to present. You can sense the future and the past. And I believe that there's a natural phenomenon where we get permission with each other while we're sleeping for things that are going to happen in the future. And that's what synchronicities are. That leads to synchronicities that turn you left to right. So two people, like, how many people fall in love and they meet each other? It's like we knew each other. As soon as they meet, it's like I felt like I knew her. And I asked her out. I'm like, how often do you ask people out? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how often in your life do these big things happen? But it's like you got permission because you did know her, because your consciousness, which is kind of neutral, super neutral, got permission to say, you know, you were up there. We're talking in the cloud together as we sleep. The science supports that.
Yeah, it's like consciousness happens before the physical. And so when things happen in the physical, the consciousness plane, the creative imagination, and things, you know, become grounded in the physical plane from that, that's where they want to manipulate. They want to infect the creative channels with, you know, whatever they possibly can. But when you're not in that zone, you're able to communicate, the physical catches up with what the consciousness has made a connection on, right? So
your subconscious dictates that, your subconscious mind. So that's why on TV, I was just talking to somebody the other day. I was like, you know, anymore on the show, they never get the girl anymore. Watch a TV show, they never get the girl. It's a sad ending. It doesn't work.
You're kind of right about that. I've noticed that.
And then it's always bad. There's always, even if it's a comedy, somebody gets brutally murdered.
It's a dark
there's
comedy.
Always like, yeah, it's like, stay inside, lock the door, don't go anywhere, because it's when you walk out the door, something bad's gonna happen. That's like 100%. You know, back in the 80s, it was like spandex and TNA, you know, tits and ass, pardon my language. Yeah. But it was TV back in the day, and you don't get any of that anymore. There's no more love. There's none of that. Now it's like brutal violence. It's gore and violence across the board. And so much so that we don't even notice it anymore. It's in every show, man. Every single show, like violence. Like even in now it's in my scroll. Like when I'm scrolling, I'm like, oh, whoa.
And also any movie that's showing the future, it's always a dystopian nightmare. It's always just a gloomy, dark, horrible future.
It's never better.
Yeah, no. And all the docu-series.
Portrayal is horrible.
Yeah. The only time I saw a positive future movie was Back to the Future, when he like went to the future, there was flying cars, and like it was pretty cool. Now every futuristic movie is like it's dystopian, the new world, you know, it's just horrible. It's a nightmare.
Your subconscious,
no more fairy tales.
Your subconscious doesn't know the difference between a movie and reality. So when your subconscious goes up there and starts communicating, you're kind of like, I don't want to work on my future. You know what I'm saying? It's stunting you. It's stunting you.
Well, it's creating an imprint like water, because it's a water element. Neptune is the multidimensional, the creative imagination. So if it makes that imprint, that vibrational signature, you know, it'll emulate it. It'll enable it. It'll produce it. It'll generate it. So we have to like go beyond that in order to write a better script than the one they're handing us. I mean, the crime documentaries, the crime series, the amount of like horrific things that happen is just like, there's seasons, there's like 12 seasons of like nothing but horrific documentaries about the crimes between family members and couples. It's like there's no happy stories that are being shared, like you guys are saying. It's like bombarded.
And you look at Netflix, you look at Amazon Prime, it's all the same array of just really like crime or just dark stories or forensics or like, I don't know, maybe that's just what I search for, but I don't see anything really happy on any of these Prime or on Netflix anymore. It's not like it was in the 80s and in the early 90s. But around mid-90s, it kind of made a turn.
Yeah, big time. And there's never like a badass. Like if anything good happens, when the bad guy gets smoked, it's on a sheer luck. It was just a lucky
chance. Yeah. So they're imprinting that in our consciousness for our subconscious to create that kind of future.
To think that that's what the world is like. Your subconscious thinks that's the world it lives in.
No more love songs. Listen to the music today. The frequencies of the music. All of it is just so negative and so garbage. I mean, there's no good vibration anymore. You know, I remember this the music with Bob Marley and all them, and that's why I think they were, you know, ultimately they were killed or whatever. But like they used to have a good frequency, falling in love, and you know, it was all about love and making love, and now it's about clubs and, you know, just the horrible, just derogatory content that's just, you don't want your kids listening to it.
And then the gender confusion. The gender confusion's out of control. It's just like just walking around town and just seeing how much the youth, it's like it's trendy. It's trendy to become the opposite sex. They're not even thinking in their right mind. You know, it's like you can be a tomboy, you can be a feminine kind of man, but like to literally take it to that next level where you're like, it's like being so encouraged.
Yeah, you can tell that there's a real agenda by
social engineering is out of hand right now.
But we can break this, and we are breaking this. Don't you agree?
Yeah. So one of the things that I also prescribe in the new book is that you can program yourself before you go to sleep of what you want to do. You can become lucid. You know, you can. It's a whole nother level to go to lucid dreaming, to be lucid. But you don't necessarily have to. You can meditate and then kind of use a mantra on what your goal is. 30 minutes before sleep, and you just repeat it. And then what happens is, you know, it's kind of like whatever's on top is what is. So if you watch a brutal, gory show and then go to sleep, that's the state of mind you take with you.
Yeah.
And while you're talking to all of our other, you know, subconsciouses. So if you program yourself like, look, I need to win. I need to win. I need a new job. I need, you know, to move to a better house. And you say, I'm going to get a better house. I'm a better house. I'm in a better house. And then go to sleep and do that for 2 weeks to a month. The universe will start providing it for you.
Believe in possibilities.
Yeah, well, and I'm saying the dream work is super powerful. It's just as powerful as hitting the gym. It's just as
daydreaming, changing. Like daydreaming and like believing and like
it's everything.
Yeah.
And that's what they're using, manipulating with this sort of thing. Because Neptune, Pisces, is opposite Virgo in the astro chart. And that's an earth sign. So everything about the imagination is what creates reality. So if they can manipulate that part of it, they can manipulate the trajectory of the timeline. And they can engineer freaking our reality in whatever way. It's just...
It makes perfect sense. You got to think about it. So if, let's say, just the three of us know this. You want to take over then. We want to manipulate us, but then we don't want anybody else to be in there doing it too. So they, you know, there's a group of people that are running everything, and they want their abilities manifesting, while they're making, you know, things come to the good things come to them. They don't want competition, so they want everybody else to be lesser. You know, they suppress it, and they've done a bang up job all through history.
And that's why there's secret societies and things like that, correct?
That's exactly right. Exactly. And then they work together. There's groups. That's other things I do. I do three groups now on my Patreon. And one of them is we get together and we do a synchronized meditation once a week for a goal. We all agree on a target, and we do a synchronized meditation every week. And we've had amazing results. That's in the book too, the tier three stuff. Can I tell you a quick story about that? One of the girls in the group had a grandkid, and the girl this isn't some kind of there's no message here, but I'm just saying, this particular girl, pretty little healthy baby, they gave her first round of shots, and then, you know, in the hospital, and she had an allergic reaction, and so she had a rash over 80% of her body. They kept her in the hospital. And they were treating her with different things. And it went on for like 2 months. She stayed hospitalized after birth. And it started getting worse. And so she came to us in the group. A girl that had been in the group for years. She said, can we do a heal target for her? And we said, sure. And this was on Tuesday night. So this was a Tuesday night that she brought it up. We voted on it. We said, Wednesday night, we'll do the meditation. Like Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We'll all at the same time, we'll meditate. We have a picture of the girl. And we saw her as being healthy and, you know what I mean, projected blue light and like a synchronized meditation focused on this girl being healed and envisioning her healthy next year or, you know, next month or next year being very healthy. We do it at the end of the night, and then everybody goes to sleep, right? So we did it Wednesday night. So it was Tuesday she gave us the target. That Wednesday morning it flared up on her, and they said it was really bad. Wednesday night we did the meditation. Thursday morning, she woke up only 10% of it left on her body. The rash went away. After 2 months, it was the same day. So you can say it's like coincidence. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same as prayer is the exact same thing. When everybody gets together and prays simultaneously.
Focused intention.
Yep.
But they see light, or do they see... what is it? What's the word I'm trying to look for here? Photons or whatever fucking it's called. Go towards a target.
Yes. Light. Well, the government. So that's the other. Some of the paper that I uncovered, they figured out how to murder people. Out of the psychoenergetics. Right. This is the military. This is the army. Out of the psychoenergetics, they figured they got a bunch of guys together, and what they were doing. I might have explained this last time. They were all on an army base, and they had the army hospital, and they could read the doctor's reports each day. So they would pick one of the guys that were in the bunk and attack him, and they would see his swelling go up and his condition be worse. And they had that proven. They had paperwork now. You know what I mean? It was an experiment. So they healed. The first they started out healing, and they thought, wait a minute, what if we do it with bad intentions? And they got all of a sudden the swelling went up, everything got worse, and they eventually could induce heart attack. And guess what happened then? That's the end of the paper trail. They said, nope, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work. Nothing to see here. We canceled the program. It's gone. We don't do this anymore. Let's fund and have the money, the men who stare at goats, and make fun of the whole thing. I just watched it the other night. You know, it's crazy. You know what I mean? They started the propaganda that it doesn't work, that there's nothing substantial to this practice, nothing to see here. As soon as they got to the point where it was militarized,
wow.
They did a movie discount SRA with Ethan Hawke and Emma Watson. I don't know if you saw it. The whole thing is about the SRA happening. And then at the end, they say this is all imagined, you know, and it was really just to, I think it sounds like a similar thing where they,
well, I'd say they had the memories cover up
and it was like, because all these things are coming out, let's create a movie that,
oh, like they're doing right now. Do you see what they're doing right now? The moon landing thing. I think Channing Tatum or whoever his name is, they're going to do a movie now where they had to fake the moon landing. And then, so it's coming out to show people, like, I mean, it's just ridiculous. They're putting it out there, putting it in the open, the obvious. I don't know.
They're trying
the way we perceive it, right?
Yeah. But
they want people.
Listen, guys, I enjoyed this podcast. I don't know if you guys want to keep going. I got to get going. But Tony, can I see your book again?
Yeah,
and sure. I know Laura.
It's called Beyond Sight. You can find it on TonyRodrigues.com, and it's on Amazon. It's called Beyond Sight: The Hidden History of Remote Viewing and Psychoenergetics. I put a lot of work in. I'm proud of this one. It's not as dark as the first two.
You're liberating many souls. You're amazing.
Tony, you're an amazing guest, man. And let me tell you, thanks, folks, keep an open mind. That's all I ask. Keep an open mind. That's what I pride my platform on and all that. So, but Laura, you also just authored a book, an amazing book. Do you have it with you by any chance?
Oh, yeah. Awakening the Truth Frequency. I don't have a copy right here. But I always love being on with you, David. Thanks for pulling this together, Tony. And you're de-weaponizing the weapons so that we can, you're just doing so much for so many.
You guys follow your awesome
intuition. Powerful.
You're so awesome, yeah. David.
No, Laura, you're incredible. Tony, you're incredible for coming forward. You're very brave. A lot of people think you're batshit crazy. You're going to be like, this guy's crazy. But listen, hey, man, I believe anything's possible. So I give this guy a platform, and I listen to him, and I think, whew, this is wild, man. Thank you, dude. Like, you're a hero. You're a true patriot. This is what a patriot looks like, folks. And Laura, you too. Thank you guys so much. And I'll put down your link. It's just Amazon, right? They can go to Amazon and get it.
TonyRodrigues.com. You tell
Tony
me
that, with an S.
Everything right there. Yes, with an S. Yep.
See, I'm with a Z. You're with an S. So TonyRodrigues with an S.com.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. I love you guys. You guys take care. Thank you, Tony. I'd love to have you back on again with Laura.
Honored to be here.
Another one.
I love you guys.
Thanks, you guys.
Can't see you again soon. Care. Bye.